Well, you know, I should say, when we go through these kind of little hurdles, I actually like it, if you like it or not, because the Holy Spirit loves when we don't do things in order. The Holy Spirit says, you know, give me permission to come and move in this house. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. You know, how about we take a moment and just open our hands for a second and, you know, let's kind of honor him, usher him, welcome him. You know, as the kids have just been had this amazing revelation, when we are in worship, if the kids, you know, why is it the kids get a revelation? Sometimes we as adults don't get it. Because the kids don't really think a lot when they're worshiping. They're actually like a little child as they are, and they just fall right into the very thing that God is offering them. We adults, we get distracted. We adults, we become very analytical. We adults begin to question what is going on. We adults begin to think, oh, this is not the church setting. And we really miss it. But when the Holy Spirit shows up, he's just looking for the one who's hungry. He's looking for the one who's saying, I want to pour out. And 99.9% is the kids who get it. It's because we have to have a childlike faith. And that's the hard part, is to move from here to here. It takes a long time. So maybe you want to put your hand on your head for a moment and say, Holy Spirit, I repent this morning. If I have been just trying to use my own little brain and trying to analyze you, trying to think of you, trying to kind of somehow work this all out so that I can get connected with you. Wow. I ask you to forgive me this morning. Maybe you have been speaking to me all through the week. Maybe you've been speaking to me when I've been working. I've not been paying attention to that little whisper, that little gentle voice. I repent, Holy Spirit. I just want to ask you, Holy Spirit, come and be with me. Wow. Now put your hand on your heart and say, I give you my heart. I welcome you. I welcome you. I welcome you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, release your presence all in me, all around me. Now just take it, now just receive it. Now just breathe it in. Breathe it in. Breathe it in. Take it in. Wow. Take it in. See, the Holy Spirit is not upon the person beside you. The Holy Spirit is upon you. There's a big difference. Wow. Take it in. His loving presence is a guarantee by our Heavenly Father through His Son Jesus to tell us that I have endorsed you as my son and as my daughter. You are mine. Everything you are, it's me. And everything that I am, it's in you. I am in the Father. The Father is in me. And you and I are one. We abide in you. I am in you because you are my dwelling place. You are my dwelling place. Just begin to receive that in your spirit for a moment. You are the dwelling place. Don't let your mind confuse you. Don't let your mind begin to distract you. But let your heart just begin to receive. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wow. Well, just stay in that atmosphere. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord. My name is Faustin. As Marina and I, we pastor this campus. Come on, I just feel the anointing in this house. Isn't that amazing? Ah, Jesus. It's okay if he takes over, right? How many are okay with that? It's okay if he takes over. You know, turn to the person next to you. Relax if he's going to take over. Have your seatbelt on. You know, because if he takes over, the presence of God is going to consume you. You are a dwelling place, you know that? You are a living sanctuary. You know, we were in our cell last Wednesday. Oh my goodness. We had a time of our life, did we not? The Holy Spirit, we just shared scriptures among us. And the Holy Spirit came. We were sobbing. We were like in shock. We were blown. God, what is it going? And we were like, oh my goodness, what are you saying? The presence is here, friends. I don't know what to do. No, not the song, the PowerPoint. Let's have my message. Come on, lay hands on somebody beside you. For those who just come back from deer hunting. Yeah, Shabbat. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Yeah, we love your presence. Yeah. I'll trade you. I'll trade anything for you, Holy Spirit. Yeah. I'll trade my message for you. Yeah. This morning. By the way, if you're newcomers, if you're visiting us for the first time, one of the things we do, we encourage you to write your prayer request. Write your prayer request and say, I'm really believing God for this. Put your names and everything, and we'll make sure we'll pray for you. That's our passion. A whole bunch of us do pray for you. This message that I've been sort of working on it, I should say, or actually the Holy Spirit has been working on me. Let's put it the other way around. He asked me in the month of March when I came back from Israel in the month of January. I was in Israel in the month of January. In the month of March when I came, the Holy Spirit started telling me, build me a tabernacle. And I'm like, okay, God. My left brain is saying, all right, you know, like a setup. How we come on Friday night and do the setup? I'm like, okay, that means I got to physically build a tabernacle. I'm like, my brain is all left brain working. And from March till almost till August, I couldn't get hold of what the Holy Spirit was trying to tell me. And he was trying to, like, I keep asking and I wasn't feeling. And in August, the Holy Spirit said to me, son, I want you to build a tabernacle in your heart. And I said, oh my goodness, how I didn't get this. You know, it took me almost 3-4 months really, you know, because our brain is pretty hard, eh? Mine is pretty strong, I'll tell you. My wife can tell you. She can soak in 1 hour. It takes me 3 hours to just wait to hear, you know, from the Lord sometimes. And this message was birthed out of my time with the Holy Spirit, my time seeking His face and say, God, I really want you, God. I don't care what I do, but I want you. So I want to really not be distracted this morning. I really not want you to read any of the notes in front of you. I really want to your attention this morning with me, because I believe as a church, the Holy Spirit is asking us to do something different. Last night I was at somebody's house and I met this dear man, and he shared about the Lord's Prayer, and he said at the very end it says, let your kingdom come as it is in heaven as on earth. For thine is the kingdom, for thine is the power, and thine is the glory. And it so resonated in my spirit when he's saying, we've seen the kingdom come when Jesus landed on earth. We've seen the power of God moving around the universe. People are getting set free. People are being healed. We have seen a measure of the glory. But now God himself, he's going to move in glory on this earth. We are in the third day. We are in a season where God himself is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh.
not just the Christians. Let's pick that up again. On all flesh.
We got 6.2, 6.3 billion people. Means he's going to impact every human being that's on this earth.
And this message that the Holy Spirit put in my heart came out of that. What is a tabernacle? I went and did some little study on tabernacle. If you look at a tabernacle, I found out through some research, it's the size of an American football field. Picture that. That is the size of the tabernacle. The Israelites were commanded by God when they were delivered out of Egypt. Why did God deliver them out of Egypt? He said, so they can worship me. They can serve me. They can worship me. Why are you and I delivered out of the bondage of our sin? So that you and I can worship him. Why are we saved? Because you and I can worship him. Why is God made it? He made it so personal. He said in Exodus 25:8, tell them to build a sanctuary, a tabernacle, so I may dwell with them. You see, God is very personal. He wants to live in me. He wants to live in us. God is very personal. He wants to reside in me. And so when he brought the Israelites when he went through the whole Exodus and he brought them into this promise, walking them through the journey to the promised land, he said, build me a tabernacle so I may dwell with them. And here is a bit of a picture. I hope you can get an understanding. That's what they had to build, a tabernacle. I don't have time to read the whole thing, but I'm going to kind of, you don't have to turn to your scriptures. If you like to, it's in Hebrew 9. It's a shorter version of what actually happened in a tabernacle. You're with me so far? Okay, you guys are all breathing? Okay, you guys are all alive? Okay, just talk to me, okay? Don't leave me alone here, okay? I like to have conversation. I like to have some fun. Come on. Yeah, that's right, Linda. Well, in Hebrew 9, from verse 2, it says, for there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one, in which were the lampstand and the table and the sacred bread that is called the holy place. Okay, now this is the whole tabernacle. They entered through here. They offered sacrifice over there for the sins that they have done. They would bring a bull or a calf or a pigeon or whatever God tell them. And they had to put their hands on that. And they had to release their sin to that. Say, so Lord, I am sorry for I have sinned. And the sin was released. The sacrifice was made on that altar that you see the fire. And then they go into the holy place. So here it is in verse 2. For there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one, in which where the lampstand and the table and the sacred bread that is called the holy place. Okay, turn to the next slide, please. Now this is the Holy of Holies. Having a golden altar, behind the second veil there was a tabernacle which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense, and the ark of the covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna and Aaron's rod, which budded, and the table of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. But of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now when these things have been prepared, the priests are continually entering the outer tabernacle, performing the divine worship. This is what the Israelites were told to do every single day. They had to come into the holy place. Only the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies. Here it says, but into the second, that is the Holy of Holies, only the high priest enters once a year, not without taking a blood, which he offers himself and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. Now let me stop there. Picture this. If Jesus Christ hadn't come to this very day, we had to keep doing this every day. They had to give goats and calves and bulls and whatnot to pay our sacrifice. It's an amazing revelation if you can walk out of this building this morning of understanding who is in you. We're going to come to that. I was blown. Go to the next slide, please. The tabernacle had to be dismantled when the Israelites had to travel. When they had to travel from place to place, they had to dismantle this American football field, put everything back in place, and had to put it back. Where is it in the Bible? Turn with me to Numbers 9, one of my favorite scripture. Numbers 9, if you can turn with me. I'm just going to read a portion of it, but you can go home and read Numbers 9 from 15 to 23. It talks about how the Israelites, it was commissioned by the Lord, because I want to dwell with you. I want to reside in you. I want to live in you. And when the cloud came by the day and the fire by night, they had to stop everything, stop their journey, and had to build that American football field-sized tabernacle to allow God to dwell with them. Here it is. Now, on the day that the tabernacle was erected, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, and in the evening it was like the appearance of fire over the tabernacle until morning. Now, pay attention to this. Verse 22. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a year, the cloud lingered over the tabernacle, staying above it. The sons of Israel remained camped and did not set out. But when it was lifted, they did set out. That's work. We find hard to set up our church sometimes on a Friday night. We have to come rushing in between work. We have to do this and that. Every Friday, Sunday, we do up here. I mean, Marina and I say, God, oh God, give us a building. Oh God, put somebody's heart to give them $1 million so we can have a building. Like, oh God, give us this. We're like crying day in, day in. Okay, God, okay. But the part of me saying, oh Lord, let your will be done, not my will. Just imagine these guys have been doing that for years together. Next slide, please. Why did God want the Israelites to build a tabernacle? Question for you. Somebody tell me. Why did God want the Israelites to build a tabernacle? It's a place of worship. To repent. To dwell in Him. That's the one purpose, he said. I want to dwell with you. You see, God wasn't distant somewhere up there. God was right, wants to be right in the midst of the people. God is interested in your personal life. God is interested in your marriage. God is interested in your day-to-day life. God is interested in everything you are. You think God is not there, God is there. God is involved with your life every moment. Next slide, please. Let them construct a sanctuary for me so that I may dwell among them. Now, I went in the dictionary and I found out a tabernacle is the whole outer side. The sanctuary actually means the Holy of Holies. Now, I can't prove that, but that's what sort of the dictionary says. You know, if anybody has better explanation, please tell me. I would love that. Next slide, please. Now, let's pick this up from here. Now, you have an understanding what a tabernacle is. Now, you have an understanding what it took for them to build a tabernacle. That's what the Holy Spirit points out. The Holy Spirit points out that the way into the true Holy of Holies is not yet thrown open as long as the former, that is the outer portion of the tabernacle, remains a recognized institution and is still standing. Okay? Now he's talking about in the old covenant before Jesus came. Next slide, please. Seeing that the first outer portion of the tabernacle was a parable, a visible symbol or type or picture of the present age, in its gift and sacrifices were offered and yet are incapable of perfecting the conscience, perfecting what's playing in your heart, perfecting what your inner man is struggling. It could not deal with what was going on the inside. It was dealing with what going on the outside. Thank you, Jesus. That's my buzzer going. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. I worship you. Hallelujah. Come on, Mike. Where's your buzzer? You know, Marina has a buzzer. I have a buzzer. Please get your buzzer. It's available in the bookstore apparently now for $20 or something. And of cleansing the and renewing the inner man of the worshiper. Okay, next slide, please. Ha-ha. I love this part. Come on, get excited. This is when the excitement takes place in our life. You see, why do we need to worship Jesus so much? Why do we need to recognize and acknowledge him so much? When Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the great and more and perfect tabernacle. Full stop. God told Moses in Exodus 25, build me a tabernacle, the pattern that I showed you in the mountain, very similar to what's in heaven. Size by size, cubit by cubit, you have to show you, thank you, Jesus. Size by size, and not made with hand, that is to say, not of this creation, which means Jesus, the Son of living God, became a high priest for you and me, entered once and for all with his own blood, and he went before the actual tabernacle that was made, and he presented the blood once and for all for you and me, and the veil was torn so that you and I could have full access to our heavenly Father. Come on, Jesus, didn't he shout? Father, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, Jesus. We praise you, we adore you. Picture that. It has been done. It is being done on the cross. It has been paid for. The blood was given. You and I, the Son of God became a son of man. The blood of a son of man went to the son of the Father and said, here's the blood that I'm giving you for all those people. And so their sins may be remitted once and for all. And they are free. Leave them alone. And the enemy has no hands over you. We are victorious. We are not victims. We are not broken. We are healed. We are restored. We are not dismantled. The Holy Spirit is constantly reminding us, what are we doing with what's in us? Look what it says here. Next slide, please. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, to cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Wow. It's no longer the outer works that's been cleansed. It is the inner works, the inner man. Your conscience has been cleansed once and for all by the blood of Christ. Your inner man, your conscience, the things, the thoughts that keep coming at you, the negative thoughts, the 80% of the negative thoughts that keeps hitting us and allowing us to think negative about people, about angry, about somebody, unforgiveness, this and that. It's been all been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Next slide, please. Let's pause for a moment. What is God saying here now? Now this tabernacle is where? In us. This American football-sized tabernacle is in you. Picture that. How precious you are. Picture that. How important you are. Picture that. Just think of that. You know, if you can walk away this morning with this revelation, your life will never be the same again. If you can walk away saying, oh my goodness, God is with us. Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with me. The Holy Spirit is in me. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Full stop. You know what happens when we begin to worship? This is the revelation the Holy Spirit has been giving me lately. When we begin to worship, our outwardness is working a lot. I want to praise him. I want to worship him. I want to exalt him. And then you're distracted. Then your mind is wandering. Then things are coming up. Bills are showing up in front of you. You know, vacation time is coming in front of you. Your turkey is smelling in front of you. Everything is distracting you. The outward work is working. But the inside of you is groaning. Oh God, I want to seek you. I want to seek you like the heart pants for the water, so my soul pants for you, Lord. As the deer pants for you, Lord, my heart pants for you. There's a groaning within you, but your outwardness is not letting you get into that place. Why? Why? We're constantly struggling. I need prayer. I need prayer. I need problem in this. I have a problem in this. I need prayer. Yes, prayer is good. Why? It's because our outward of our life has been constantly being battered and hindered. And we are trying to worship from the outside, not from the inside. Am I making any sense? That's why we'll say longing. Oh God, take me to that place of worship. Oh God, give me intimacy. Oh God, take me before the throne room. Oh God, we have forgotten. We're saying, come Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit comes upon us for others, but it is already in you. So you don't need to feel him. You need not to know him. He's in you. Next slide, please. Now he who has fashioned us, preparing and making us fit for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of the fulfillment of his promise. Do you know what does that mean? I'm going to talk to us for all those who are left brain like me. It's like somebody walking up to you and saying, there's a $1 million home that's already been under construction, and it's all been paid for. I'm just giving you the key in advance. So when you walk in, and I'll give you the code to get into that building. How many would say that's a great deal? Right? We begin to, oh wow, that's a great deal. The Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's not a wind. Hello? He's not manifestation. Hello? He's not a dove. He's not a it. He's not when you shake. That is all what is happening on the inside, you're experiencing on the outside. He is the third person in the Trinity. He is the living one, the living God. That has been given to you. Pause and think. You know how much we can grieve the Holy Spirit when we do not really acknowledge him for who he is. We become so complacent. Oh, yet another fellow fell down. I remember John Arnold would always teach us on this. I've heard him speak at the conference. Oh, another one fell down. Okay, bless you. Oh, another one got touched. Oh, bless you. Oh, another one felt good. God bless you. But we have not recognized the living God came and touched that person. It happened this morning with the kids. I wish I was a 12-year-old kid with them. Could see that amazing light that they saw. Why is it? Because we have taken the Holy Spirit very lightly. We have kind of given him, okay, let me feel good experience. We want a feel good experience. And we walk away. But he is in you. He wants to live with you. He wants to talk with you. Next slide, please. For who among men know the thought of a man except the spirit of man? Now pay attention to this. It's very interesting. Who among men knows the thought of a man except the spirit of man? Let me stop you there for a moment. What is going on inside of you? Who knows it? You. What you know about yourself, only you know. Everything that Mark thinks about himself, only he knows. I don't know anything about him. I just know that he helped me fix up all these things every Friday night. But what goes on in him, only he knows. What goes on in Vashti, only Vashti knows. What goes on in you, only you know. Nobody else knows. Is that true? What you're struggling with, what you're thinking good about yourself, bad about yourself, you know about it. Anybody else knows? No, just you know it. But look at this trading, what God has done. Even so that the thought of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. Let me stop there. What is in the heart of God? What is in him? Who knows? Only God knows. Only the Holy Spirit knows. Correct?
Watch this. Look at the trade. Next slide.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Stop there for a second and think about it. If you can get this today and you can go home, God can do an amazing stuff with you. I am not just making it up. I'm serious about this.
We begin to operate 99% of the time what the heir of this world, the prince of the air, is thinking. We have to be very conscious what your mind is being induced with. All the time thinking what is happening around in the life of this world and this and that. You're constantly in the prince of the air. You have not been given that. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. You know what does that mean? Father God said, I want to dwell with them. I want to live with them. Not only that, I give them the spirit that I have so they can know about me, everything that's in me. They can have it. He's an open book. If you don't shout for Jesus for this, I don't know whom I'm preaching to. I'm telling you, if you don't get this, then I am just preaching to a dead. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit, let me emphasize on this a little bit. The Holy Spirit is saying, I can tell you what Papa's thinking about you right now. Would you like to know? How many would like to know? Okay, I woke a few people up right now. If you want to know what God is saying to you, 2012, March 31st, this is what I'm going to do for you. How many would like to know? Do you know God says only good things about you? Why? Only good things are not bad things. Because God is good. There is no bad stuff in him. Only good can come out of him. God is love. Only love can come out of him. He's constantly, he can't stop talking about you. Do you know that? That's why he puts you to sleep in the night and he gives you a dream, because you talk too much to God. Because you're busy too much. Because you do too much stuff. You don't have time for yourself. And so you don't have time to listen to God. So God says, son, go to sleep. I'll talk to you in the sleep. I'll give you a dream. I'll give you a vision. I'll tell you what I think about you. I'm going to tell you my story in a minute. I remember, this is like over 6-7 years ago. Are you guys with me today? I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is about to do something. If you get on this bandwagon with me, we're going to go somewhere. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, we're going to go somewhere. About 5-6 years ago, I was having a shower. I do have shower every day, by the way. You know, all those who are wondering if I don't, you know. And while I'm having a shower, I hear this voice. And it's saying, who do you think of yourself? In a very positive way. Who do you think of yourself? I stopped and I said, wow, what is that? The second question popped up. Who do people think about you? This is all before I started in the ministry. I was working in the Catch the Fire, in the operation side. Nothing in the ministry. And the third voice I heard, what do I think about you? When I heard that third question, what do I think about you? I knew it was the Spirit of God speaking to me. I quickly ran out of the shower. And God started downloading me and telling me things. My son, because this is what you think about yourself, that you're from India, you don't mix, you can't be along this crowd, and because you have limited knowledge of the Bible, and because you just got saved in 98, and because you're this and that, that's what you've limited yourself to be. And because this is what you've limited yourself to be, people around you and say, well, that's what Faustin can do. That's what Faustin can do. And this, and they limit you accordingly what they see. But that's not what I think about you. I am going to send you to the nations. I'm going to see people healed through you. I'm going to see mighty signs and wonders come out of you. I'm going to see God. I got to make. And in 5 years, I've seen lady been deaf for 23 years healed in front of my eyes. I have seen people who have been crippled walk. I have seen a tumor disappear in Gujarat, in a country in India. A tumor disappear. God has plans for you that you know not. God has plans for you. How do I seek the things?
You go after God, the Spirit of God, and say, oh God, I want to know you. I want to intimately know you. Search my heart, oh God. Remove my anxious thought and know my inside thought and tell me what you think about me. And I want to trade everything that's inside of me so that I can have everything that you have, and I want it for myself. Because I am going for the nation. I'm standing for the kingdom for your sake. I am going to go to the nation and tell people Jesus is Lord. Sorry, I get too excited. Are you guys okay with me like this? Oh, God, I'm telling you, man. I love the Holy Spirit. He's my best friend. I'll trade anything for him, anything. Next slide, please. Things which we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. You've got to be very careful what you ask God for. You want things of the supernatural, not of the natural. You don't want a $100 bill. Yeah, sometimes they come handy. I mean, it was so precious to hear a young girl say, Lord, give me $150. That's okay for her to ask because kind of, you know, she's in that place in her life. But we need to seek for the things that is eternal. Seek for the things that's above. Seek for the things that God, what you're saying. You and I are not made to have the best clothes on. Yes, that's important. But you and I are made to bring an impact to the nations. So you need to have ask God to give you spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. Next slide, please. Do you not know that you are a temple of God? That the Spirit of God dwells in you? Let's stop there for a moment. Moment and think of it. Do you not know? It's a question Paul was asking. Do you not know that you're a temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Which means the tabernacle that dwells in you has a demand from you, is asking you to do something. I'm going to come to that in a minute. Here is something that you and I have to guard our heart. Here is something that you and I have to pay attention to. The Holy Spirit has not been given to Faustin and Marina so he can come on Sunday morning, blast a few people, and just make feel good, and everybody goes home and everything was great meeting. He's been given to me, the representation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, to represent to the unbelievers, the ungodly people over there, that I am with the Trinity. The Trinity is in me. The Trinitarian love of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is in me. When I stand before a crowd, when I stand before the people, when I stand before whoever I am, I need to represent God, the fullness of God in me. If I don't, if I am, you know, he goes on to say in another scripture somewhere in Corinthians, if a man sleeps with a prostitute, he's one with the prostitute. What a contrast. My goodness, Paul is so hard sometimes. But if you're one with the Lord, you're one in the Spirit with him. How important it is what you do with your body. How important it is what you do with your mind. How important it is what you do with your conscience. How important it is what you intake. How important it is what you do with the members of your body. You're going to get to that in a minute. If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that's what you are. We need to guard our body, my friends. We need to guard our mind. I was just listening to somebody the other day and said, be very careful of not taking too much medication. I have some good people around me and they tell me some good advices. Don't put too much chemical on you. Don't do too much of this because they all affect your body. Don't do too much of this. And I am learning every day of my life what I do with my this physical body. What I do with my watching. Like television, I have completely canceled it out of my life. I said, I'm not going to watch it anymore. I like my son. I set it up for me on my iPhone. Breaking news. Okay, good. So-and-so lived. So-and-so died. Thank you. That's all I need to know. And I go move on. Because I want to know more about God. There's, in the world, there's always challenges. There's always things and always that. It's never a good thing comes out of a television. The entertainment lasts for a moment. An alcohol will last you for a season. A fun moment will last you for a moment. But the very thing that you need in your heart is the love of God. The very thing you need is the Holy Spirit. The guarantee who's in you. He's the one who's saying to you, I am going to give you everything the Father has for you. Next slide, please. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? Next slide, please. And here's where Paul very boldly is challenged the body of Christ. And I'm challenging you on the same basis. And I'm saying to you, I'm putting this question to you today. And I want you to take this note. I want you to take this scripture and ask God, God, before I step into 2012, but let's not even think about 2012. Before I step into December, help me see this. Here's what he said. I appeal to you. Means he's saying, I challenge you. I beg of you. I earnestly ask of you. Therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and your faculties. Let me stop there. What you do with your hand is very important. Very important. With this hand, I hold my wife's hand. With this hand, I cook food. With this hand, I eat. With this hand, I pray. With this hand, I worship. But with this hand, I lay hands on the people. What you do with your hand is important. I'm just giving you one example. What you do with the members and the faculties of your body is a temple of God. It matters to God what you do with yourself. As a living sacrifice, holy and devoted, consecrated and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable and rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Your body is a living tabernacle. Your body has the stages where it has the holies and the holy of holy. Your body consists, the inner man that's full of the Holy Spirit is in you. What you, here is something that I'm working on, that I'm saying, mind, I'm asking you, soul, I tell you to shut up for a little while. I want to focus on the Word of God. Go to the next slide, please. Here is an important point that we can go home with. Do not be conformed. We've heard this scripture a million times. Let me stop there. What is the meaning conformed? Let me use some simple, basic words. Don't close yourself with the worldly pleasures. We have a little balloon. I need this, I need this. When I retire, I need this. When I expire, I need this. When I this and that, this and that. We all have kind of a little nice balloon we set ourselves. And we have that little thing, agenda that we have set up for our life, which is good to plan our life and everything, but don't get too caught up in it. We become conformed to this world. I mean, you can keep up with technology, can you? I remember when we used to have television, black and white, it was so big. Big box, like a Hulk. Then it got a little bit thinner, and now it's got so thin. I don't know what's going to happen next. I'm not going to keep up with technology. I like technology, it's great. But do not be conformed to this world. Dedicate a time in your day where I'm going to spend time with God. Oh, I am too busy, you don't understand. I have to get up in the morning and run to work. Well, get up 5 o'clock if you need to. Oh, well, you don't understand. I sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, set a time. Because God values when you set time alone with Him. He says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God. See, we want all the promises of Psalm 91. But we're not willing to do Psalm 91, verse 1. I want to close with this. But be transformed, changed. Transformed means be open. open your heart for change. Open your heart to make some changes. Open your heart to say, I want to make some new changes in my life. I want to start getting a buzzer so I can thank the Lord. Or I want to start take time to worship God. Or I'm going to make some changes in your life. That's pleasing to God. I'm going to try and not get angry. I get very quickly angry with people. Oh, God, help me with my anger. I get very quickly judgmental about people. Oh, God, help me with my judgmental thoughts. Whatever is your struggle, put it before yourself and write it down and say, oh, God, I wish, I choose to make some changes in this coming month. Next slide, please. So that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. I shared in this campus some months back about God's will, which is a big circle, and your self-will, that's a little circle. Most times we people, we have this thing of, let me pull God from the big circle and bring Him towards me so that He can fit into my little inner circle, in my little self-will circle. But let's go the other way. Let's drop that little inner circle or your self-will into that big circle and say, God, transform me, renew me, so that your perfect will of God will be done in me. I'm telling you, friends, God only wants to see good things for you. I want to say this in closing. Something that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me. I believe we are getting into the season. But as we begin to worship from the inside out, not from the outside in. From the inside out, that means you cultivate a habit of maybe soaking, cultivate a habit of a buzzer, where you begin to honor God, the tabernacle that's inside of you. And you pause and silence yourself, oh God, you live in me. I thank you. I thank you. Begin to honor the presence of God in you. Let's do that for a moment right now. Close your eyes, every eye closed. I'll stop talking for exactly 1 minute. Just silence yourself. And without any words spoken out of your mouth, without any tongues, just let your inner man begin to honor the tabernacle that's within you.
Let's all stand and sing this song all over again. And sing it with your heart. Prepare your heart. Make it a sanctuary for His place of worship.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Lord, prepare me.
stay in that presence. Stay in that place of worship. Just stay in that place of worship. You know, during this last Friday Bible study, Rodrigo taught us where he said, faith is a gift of God. He also taught us and he said, you increase your faith by hearing the word of God. You heard the word of God today. It wasn't Faustin's idea. It was God's idea. What are you going to do with it? Holy Spirit, as we begin to continue to worship you one more time, let your presence come and fill us. And out of your presence, Lord, nobody's going to lay hands on nobody. But you, the Holy Spirit, will minister to us. The Holy Spirit, come right now.
Comes against the mind of the
Lord. Sing with him and worship him.
You've come to bring joy where there's been sorrow. You've come in your peace, in your love, and in your acceptance. And you're here, Lord Jesus. You're here.
Give Jesus the praise. Thank you, oh, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give you an invitation this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We love your presence. We love your presence. Oh, we love your presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's minister to me. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, thank you, Father. I'm going to give you an altar call this morning. If you've never ever surrendered your life to Jesus, and you're in this room and you've never been serious about God, I want to give you an invitation to come. I also want to give you an invitation this morning. Wow. And if you're saying, I want to make a change in my life. I want to make changes. I want to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. If you want to be transformed and if you want to make changes, when you walk forward, you're not getting a prayer from me, but you're making a declaration to the Lord on your own. You're saying, I'm going to make changes. So I invite you to come forward.
His arms, a fortress for the weak. Let faith arise.
If you need prayer, I'd be happy to pray for you. But if you're willing to say this morning, I want to make some changes in my life. I want to step out of the box that I'm in. Then I invite you to come. Do not be afraid. Do not be ashamed. I'll just pray with you quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you're willing to say, I am wanting to make change. I am willing to have a brand new life. I want that living sanctuary in me. Be still. It's going to cost you. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. If you're willing to say, I am going to acknowledge the tabernacle in me. Hey. Whoa. I'm going to acknowledge the tabernacle in me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm willing to step out of my little bubble. And I'm going to get into the bigger will of God. And I'm going to say, God, I don't care, God. I'm going to give my life to you 100%. I'm going to live my life for you for the rest of my life. I'm going to ask some of the cell leaders and people around just to come and help me pray. If I can get a couple of catches, would be good. Rest of you, we thank you for coming on this beautiful Sunday. You're more than welcome to soak a little bit more, pray for each other. We encourage you to just be in the presence of God. But we bless you and we send you. We'll see you next Sunday for the Bar Baraka celebration. My head.
let faith arise. Let faith arise. Turning wide, open the eyes of the